Fridays are awesome. It's been a little while since I said that on air. Doesn't make it any less true, though. I'm Carl Azus for CNN Student News. This academic year, one story we've been following involves the worsening relations between two world powers, Russia and the U.S. Russia's suspension of part of a nuclear agreement with the U.S., America's suspension of talks with Russia over ending the civil war in Syria. These are just two examples of the recent troubles between the countries. There's also disagreement over Russia's involvement in the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. And now, the White House is formally accusing Russia of meddling in the upcoming U.S. presidential election, which Russia denies doing. One thing U.S. President Barack Obama has attempted to do is to isolate Russia, to try to separate it from other countries, and to make it look as if Russian President Vladimir Putin is alone in the world. A Russian ambassador says that's not working.
Putin is often cast as isolated in the world, targeted by international sanctions, shunned on the international stage. But in fact, he's been steadily building alliances in areas where Western powers have struggled. The obvious example is Syria, where Russia has intervened militarily to prop up Bashar al-Assad, Moscow's longtime ally. Russia's air force and navy has been pounding anti-Assad rebels, turning the tables on the battlefield, sending a powerful message that Moscow can be both a strong and reliable ally and a formidable enemy. Russia has a working relationship with Iran and is increasingly seen as a serious player once again in the Middle East. Putin is building an important relationship with China as well, with whom Russia has a shared interest in counterbalancing the power of the United States. Russia and China are building closer economic ties, particularly in energy, where the two countries have agreed, amongst other things, a $400 billion gas deal. Russia's status as a major gas and oil producer has encouraged countries like Turkey and Saudi Arabia, sometimes themselves at odds with Moscow in other areas, to forge closer ties with the Kremlin. So the relationship with the United States and others in the West may be testing. When it comes to Russia, much of the rest of the world is still keen to do business.
Getting back to Russia and the upcoming U.S. election, the American government has publicly accused the Russian government of participating in cyber attacks against American election systems, allegedly hacking into the Democratic National Committee's computers, for instance, and stealing documents. Russian officials have called the accusations flattering, but they've repeatedly denied meddling in the U.S. election and said there's no proof Russia's involved in the hacking. Still, all this has brought up questions of how secure the American voting process is, especially in states where it's done electronically. It's something getting the attention of DHS, the Department of Homeland Security.
On Monday, DHS reported more than 30 U.S. states have asked for help with cybersecurity for election and voter registration systems. Security expert Chris Weissopel says that modifying the voter registration isn't going to change any votes, but there are other vulnerable points of entry.
So it all kind of starts here at the election management system.
That's where the ballots are created, put on a memory card, and then into a voting machine.
Then it has to be sent back to the election management system here to be counted.
If there's no paper record from the voting machines, a hacker could tamper with the election management system and change the vote. Fortunately, none of this is connected to the internet, so hackers target election officials.
These are the election employees who are running these systems. They connect to the internet. If their computers get infected, and they're the ones that are managing and maintaining these systems, there's a chance that memory cards come from their computers here.
Weissopel is skeptical that hackers could swing the vote through these methods, but he says their actions could accomplish another goal.
It could disrupt things. It could also cause people to think something's going on. It could call into question that the election was fair, even though it doesn't actually tamper with the votes.
In the Asian country of Thailand, flags are flying at half-staff for 30 days, and Thai government workers have been ordered to wear black clothing for a year. They're signs of mourning for a nation that has lost its king. After a 70-year reign, King Bhumibol Adulyadet died at a hospital in the capital of Bangkok yesterday. The 88-year-old Thai ruler had been the world's longest reigning living monarch before his death. He'd been suffering from kidney and blood pressure problems.
It is purely devastating for so many people here in Thailand who have known their whole lives for King Bhumibol to be their leader, their ruler, even though he has no actual political power, so to speak, in this constitutional monarchy. There have been many times over the years where his respected voice has brought together, like glue, this fiercely divided country. Times that the country was even at the brink of civil war, he was the person who both sides would listen to, and they were able to patch things up.
A successor to the throne has been appointed, Thailand's Crown Prince Maha Wachiralongkorn, but he says he needs more time to mourn before he's named the new Thai king. Since France gifted her to the U.S. in the 1880s, millions have seen the Statue of Liberty by boat, plane, or even from the lady's crown. Imagine the view from a jetpack.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? It's a man in a jetpack flying around the Statue of Liberty.
It was awesome. It was a dream come true, and I was just having a blast.
Though the actual blast off from a boat was fairly gentle. The founder of Jetpack Aviation, David Maimon, is the test pilot, and yes, he and his chief designer had to get all kinds of approvals to pull this off.
The FAA asked, what is it? What is it? A jetpack? What is that?
The flight lasted about 5 minutes. The pilot uses hand controls and his body to steer, though Maimon took one hand off the controls for a second.
I saluted Lady Liberty, and on one of the passes I stopped and turned around and gave her a salute.
Maimon has been hooked on jetpacks ever since he first saw James Bond take off in one in Thunderball. For 10 years, Maimon and designer Nelson Tyler have worked together. Tyler helped design the rocket belt that sent up a man for less than 30 seconds at the 1984 Olympics. For the Statue of Liberty flight, the designer told his pilot,
"Fly slow and careful and not too high."
Yeah, I didn't hear that message, I don't think.
Next thing you know, he was 100 feet up doing 65 miles an hour. Jeannie Mo, CNN, New York.
Permission was key. You could be sent packing to jail if you were to just take the liberty of flying over there. Thankfully, the jetpack attached to his back didn't torch his back, because who wants to be in a hot seat when you're at liberty carrying the torch for flight? I'm Carl Azuz, and we've got a jet. Hope you have an amazing weekend.